Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Memches, and we're going to begin with the last word of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. As we've been discussing on Yom Kippur, as our Mishnah taught us, one of the avoidas, primary avoidas of the Kohen Gadol, was to do the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The avoid of the Ketores began outside the Kodesh Kedoshim, and we've been discussing what's called Chfina. Chfina is where the Kohen Gadol takes two hands, fills them up with Ketores, and then ultimately puts them into the shovel that will be taken in to the Kodesh Kedoshim. Not shovel, really a spoon. And the Gemara will today continue discussing various aspects of that melacha, of that avoida on Yom Kippur, and various dinim, what the halacha would be. As we also discussed in the previous year, in every carbon mincha that is brought, there is a similar avoida to the chfina don, which is called kmitza, where a fistful of the flour and oil that the carbon mincha is primarily comprised of is the part that's burnt on the mizbeach. And the Gemara clearly showed us in the previous year and in today's year again that there is some connection between chfina and kmitza, and that's why the Gemara asks a lot of shailas on kmitza, even though kmitza is not a void which is unique to Yom Kippur. But when we're speaking about chfina, which is an avoid unique to Yom Kippur, it's natural that we're also going to speak about kmitza. And that's why the first shaila that Rapapa poses in today's shir is actually a shaila regarding kmitza. By Rapapa, dafke lekoimitz bedoifne demona. If somebody attached the koimitz into the walls of the klisharis, mai, what is the halacha? So there are a number of ways of explaining this Gemara. Rashi explains that we know how does kmitza work. We have the pan with the flour and oil. The kohen takes a fistful of that flour and oil and puts it into a klisharis. And according to Rashi, the Gemara Shaila is, instead of the kohen depositing that koimitz into the bottom of the klisharis that it ultimately will be used to transport it to the mizbeach for burning, he put the koimitz on the side of the wall. Is that considered that he put the koimitz properly into the klisharis? The Rambam takes a different approach. The Rambam says that the Gemara Shaila is regarding how the kmitza is performed. As we said, the kmitza is performed, but a kohen digging his, and we spoke about this a lot in the previous year, digging his fist into the flour and oil to take out a fistful. And the Shaila of the Gemara is, instead of digging his fist into that pile of flour and oil, he actually just put his hands against the wall where the flour and oil was and scraped off the flour and oil to make a kmitza, and is that considered a legitimate way of doing kmitza? The Rambam isn't satisfied with Rashi's pshat, the Mefarshim explained, because he doesn't understand what's the difference if you put the kmitza into the bottom of the klisharis or you put the kmitza to the side of the klisharis. If you put the kmitza into klisharis, it should be adequate. Tosfos will take these two approaches. Mai. So the Gemara, again, we'll learn with Rashi. Do you have to deposit it into the keli? And that was done, even though it's not to the bottom. A dilma, as Rashi explains, we actually have to deposit the koimitz to the bottom of the keli. But here, we would deposit it on the side. For leka, that hasn't been accomplished. Says the Gemara, teiku, the question remains unresolved. And as we've explained, the Rambam tells us in all the various tekus that we had in the previous shir and that we'll have in today's shir, l'chatchila, if it was done this way, it's unacceptable, but with the yevit, it's okay. Next shaila. Boy mar bervashi, apcha lemona, v'dafka l'koimitz ba'aris ha'demona. So according to Rashi, the question here is like this. We just explained that the koimitz must be deposited in a klisharitz. Now, many times, especially in ancient times, their vessels had a base, a hollow base. Imagine a becher that you have a Shabbos that has a base to it, but there's a hole in the base. You could deposit something. And according to Rashi, the Gemara Shail is that instead of depositing the koimetz into the main body of the klisharis, he deposited the koimetz into that base. He turned over the keli and he deposited the koimetz into that base. Is that considered that he adequately deposited the koimetz in the klisharis? Or since he didn't deposit it in the right place, the main body of the klisharis, isn't considered that he put it in the right place. Let's learn the Gemara. By Mabravashi, that apchelamone, he turned over the klisharis, the dafkel koimetz ba'aras of the money, and he deposited the koimetz in the base. Mau, what's the halacha? Hanoch b'toich b'inan, you have to deposit the koimetz into the klisharis. Vika, and that was done. Adomo, perhaps, hanoch k'tikana b'inan, it has to be done in the normal fashion. What's the normal fashion? That the koimetz is put into the main body of the vessel. And v'leka, and it wasn't done. Teiku, again, the Gemara remains with a shaila. Tosfos has a different approach to the question. Tosfos' approach to the question is that somebody somehow inverted the keli. He turned the keli, what was used to be the inside became the outside, and what used to be the outside became the inside. Does that still retain the status of a klisharis? That's how Tosfos explains the Gemara shaila. It's interesting. In our world, the shaila is not very relevant, but there's a shaila of Tshuvas Petzela Chochma that uses this Gemara Shaila to a question that's relevant to the 3 weeks. The halacha is that we know that during the 3 weeks, we're not supposed to put on new clothing. In ancient times, people didn't have money, and clothing was quite expensive. So when a person's suit got rubbed out, what did he do? He turned it inside out. And that's how it became a new suit. And the Gemara, the Betzel Chachma says, the Gemara Shaila is that allowed to be done during the 3 weeks when you're not allowed to put on a new suit, is turning the suit, the inside to the outside, mutter or not? In our world, it's probably mutter. It's Nebuch, somebody that needs that. But that's how he connects it to our Gemara. By Rapapa. Now Rapapa goes to the Chfina. When we spoke about Chfina, Molei Chofnev Sha'amru, when we're told that we have to do Chfina, the Kohen Gadol has to fill his hands with the Ketores. Mechukais or gedushas? Does it have to be a heaping pile or just that's mechukais means that it just fills up the hand but nothing more? Or gedushas, is it a heaping pile? Amalei Rav Abba or Rav Ashi, Toshma, Molei Chofna Sha'amru, the Molei Chofna, they said, loy mechukais, loy gedushas, it shouldn't be too much and too little, el tfufas, just exactly fitting the hand. Tanan Hossam. There's a Mishnah in Masechta Zvachim. The Mishnah in Masechta Zvachim says like this. We know that when a carbon is slaughtered, we do Shechita, and the next avoid is Kabbalah. The blood has to be received in a keli, which ultimately there'll be halacha, that blood will be transported to the Mizbeach, where Zrika will take place. Another word of introduction is that when blood comes out from animal, the first spurt of blood is not dam hanefesh. It's just blood that's there in the vein. Then you have dam hanefesh, which is life blood, which is the dam that has to be used for zrika. And then you have dam atamtsis, which is the blood that trickles out afterwards. Says the Mishnah Masechta Zvachim, nishpach hadam al ritzpa. If blood from the animal, instead of spilling into this klisharis into which Kabbalah should take place, poured onto the floor, v'osvoy, and then it fell onto the floor, but you need that dam to do halacha zrika with. So you gather it from the floor, puzzle. That dam, if it spilled onto the floor, becomes disqualified and can no longer be used for zrika. However, minakli ala ritzpah, if it was properly deposited into the klisharis from the neck of the animal, and then it spilled out onto the ground, since it was properly received, so there if you gather it from the floor, of course this is not lechatchila, we don't want it to fall on the floor, but if it did, if you pick it up from the floor, it's kosher. Menahanimili, how do we know to make this distinction? The Tana Rabbanan, there's a braisa. The braisa teaches us, v'lokach medama power, we should take Kabbalah, we should receive the blood from the axe. Bidam ha-nefesh. So the halacha is, which blood is the blood that's usable for Zrika, life blood. V'loy medam ha-or, not from the cut on the skin. V'loy medam ha-tamtzus, not from the blood that trickles out after the dam ha-tamtzus come out. Interesting, there's an interesting remor. The remor says in Hilchos Shechita that let's say one of the halachas that everybody knows regarding Hilchos Shechita is that shia, that the shechita has to be done in one fell swoop. If there's any delay, if there's any stop in the shechita is not a kosher shechita. Says the remor that let's say somebody made the smallest incision in an animal's neck and then stopped and then continues doing the shechita is disqualified. Explains the Taz. Why? Because we're concerned that the first incision, if you see blood coming out, it must be that that blood came from the Kanot of Eshet. Where else would the blood come out? That means you started the shechita and you stopped, and that's why the shechita is not acceptable. Ask the Mefarshim on the Taz, based on this Gemara, why are you assuming that that blood came from the Kana of Eshet, and now you had an interruption in the middle of the Shechita, and that's why the Shechita is not acceptable? Al Gemara taught us that there's Dama Or, that there is blood in the skin of the animal. So how could you, the Taz, say that there is no Dam in the Or? It must be that that Dam that you had came from the Kana of Eshet. Prima Godem asked that question on the Taz. There are a number of answers to that question. One answer is that the answer is given in two versions. That perhaps Al Gemara is talking only by a behema, and the Ramah is speaking about a chicken, or vice versa. Perhaps Al Gemara is only talking about a bird, and the Taz is talking by a behema, by an animal. Ramah says a different teretz. Ramah says when Al Gemara says here dama or, that the or has blood, he says that the Gemara doesn't mean that the skin itself has blood. That area has no blood. There's blood right before the Kana of Eshet. But since it's right before the Kana of Eshet, it's not Dam HaNefesh, but it is Dam from the Kana of Eshet, and that's why the Ramah, as the Taz explains, disqualifies that Shechita. But going back to the Gemara, the Braisa taught us that the blood that's usable for Zrika is strictly Dam HaNefesh, not Dam Ha'or, not Dam HaTamtzus. Furthermore, the Braisa teaches us, that the Pasuk is teaching us, Midam ha-par, dam mi-ha-par yekablena. We should receive the blood directly from the neck of the animal. If the blood falls on the floor and then we accept it from the animal, that's not an acceptable Kabbalah. Disakadatach midam ha-par. If you're going to tell me that you accept dam ha-par, midam vafilam mi-exestam, perhaps ask the Gemara that instead of saying that the Braisa teaches us, that the Pasuk teaches us, that you have to accept the blood directly from the neck of the animal, I'll tell you, you know what the Pasuk is teaching us? The Midam! It's enough to take some of the blood, you don't have to take all of the blood. So who tells you, ask the Gemara, that we should explain the Pasuk to be teaching us, that we have to take the blood directly from the neck of the animal? Perhaps the Pasuk is teaching us that even some of the blood is enough to do Zrika. Says the Gemara, that can't be what the Pasuk is teaching us. Because the Amr of Yehuda, Hamakabel, Tzarech, Shekabel, is called Domesh Opar. The halacha is that you have to accept all of the blood. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Veskol Hadam Apar, all of the Dam Apar, Yishpoch Yisoid HaMizbeach, should be poured to the base of the Mizbeach. So it can't be that the Pasuk is teaching us that Midam Apar just takes some of the blood, because we know that's not true. What must the Pasuk be teaching us? El Shmamim Mai Dam Apar. What does the Pasuk mean with the words Midam Apar? Dam Mi'abar Yekablena. But the Gemara has another concern. If it means Dam Mi'apar, so it should have said Dam Mi'apar. The Pasuk doesn't say that. It says Mi Dam Apar. And it says the Gemara, to Kesover, because this man the Amr explains that one of the acceptable ways of understanding A pasuk in the Torah is goyin u'mesifim v'darshim. You take a letter from one place and you put it in another place. So although the pasuk says mi dam apar, what we actually do is we take the mem away from the word dam and apply it to the word hapar. And instead of explaining mi dam apar, we explain dam me hapar. So what we're up to now is that we have to take the dam directly from the par's neck. If the dam falls onto the floor, and then you pick it up, it will be unacceptable. But we do have to take all of the blood. So the Rambam, as the Lechem Mishnah explains, the Rambam, and that's really what the pasuk is teaching us, this halacha that you have to take all of the blood is only lechatchila. However, if you took dam directly from the neck of the animal, and you have enough dam to do zrika, and then afterwards, the rest of the blood spilled to the floor, but you were able to do your zrika anyway, because you accepted enough blood, but the evidence that would be acceptable. It's only lechatchila you should try to catch all the blood to save all the blood. There's an interesting machlaikis. What would be the halacha if you took dam and you accepted it directly from the neck of the animal, and then after you took the dam from the animal, somehow that dam got lost, but the animal is still gushing blood. Could you go back to the animal and take another, and say, catch that blood that you should be able to do zrika with it? The Sfas Emes says that it would not be acceptable. Other Achroinim say that as long as you're catching the blood directly from the neck, even though it's your second turn at doing it, it would be acceptable. So before we go further in the Gemara, the Meshech Chachma asks a question. What are we saying that how do we know that all of the blood has to be accepted? Because the Pasuk says, Vaskol dam apar yishbech lisay mizbeach. What is that Pasuk teaching us? That Pasuk is teaching us that we take the blood from the neck of the animal, we do zrika, and after zrika is done, if we have any leftover blood, that blood is spilled to the base of the Mizbeach. Ask the Meshech Chachma, why would the Torah choose to teach us a pasuk, to teach us the din, that we have to accept all of the blood from the animal by the din of Shvicha? The pasuk should have taught us the din when the pasuk is talking about the Shkita or the Kabbalah. At that point, the Torah should have taught us, do the Kabbalah, catch all the blood. Why does the Torah wait to teach us this din that you have to catch all the blood only when we're at the end of the Avodah, when we're pouring out the leftover blood? Answers the Meshech Chachma, beautiful Teretz. The Pasuk is teaching us that one would think it's enough for me to catch enough blood that I should be able to do the Zrika. You don't need a lot of blood to do the Zrika. So as long as I caught enough blood to do the Zrika, I accomplished my needs, then catch that much blood and do the Zrika, and we don't have to worry about the rest of the dam. Teaches us the pasuk. There is an avoider. There is a purpose. What to be done with the rest of the dam? You know what that purpose is? Yishpoich al yisayim zbeich, that it should be spilled to the base. So since I have a need for the rest of the dam, even the dam that's not going to be used for the zrika, to do what? To pour it to the base of the mizbeach. That's why it's called damapor. Catch all the blood. So you should be able to have it to accomplish Yishvicha al Yisayra Mizbeach. So we've established that when we shecht an animal, we have to try to catch all the blood directly into a keli and do Zrika and then Shvicha with it. If it falls on the floor and then you want to, and then you want to scoop it up, unacceptable. Now ask the Gemara. Boy Rapapa, what will be the halacha Nispazrak Tairus Memolech Hafnaf? The Kohen did scooped up the Ketores with his hands, and before he could deposit that Ketores into the Klisharis, into the calf, into the spoon that we discussed yesterday, it fell on the floor. What's going to be the halacha? Mahu. Yadoi Ketsava Behemadami. Do we compare his hand to the neck of the animal? And the halacha is if the blood falls from the neck to the floor, it's unacceptable, it's unusable. Here too, if the tyrus falls out of its hand, it's unacceptable. Is his hand considered like it fell into the klisharis, that we learned halacha is that if the dam fell into the klisharis and then fell onto the floor, and then you pick it up, the light apostle, it's not disqualified. Take it. So like the Ritva explains, we learned in the previous Gemara that the reason why the Kohen Gadol put the Ktoiris into the calf was really for practical consideration. Because there's no way he could carry the Ktoiris in his hand and the shovel and go into the base of into Kodesh Kedoshim carrying all these items. So if carrying in the calf is only a practical consideration, but the right place for the Ktoiris is really his hands, so his hands are similar to the keli in which the dam goes into, and once they're in that keli, even if they spill out, doesn't bother me. On the other hand, perhaps, once the Torah, albeit for practical considerations, required that it should be put into the calf, any time the Torah spills out before it's in the calf, it's like the dam that spilled out before it's put into the klisharis, and it's disqualified, and the Gemara stays with a teiko. Ask the Tosfos Yeshanim and the Ritva, the why did the Gemara only choose to ask this question by the Ketoris? The Gemara should have asked the same question by the Karban Mincha. That what's going to be the halacha that if somebody took a claimant to the Karban Mincha and before he could deposit in the klisharis, as we began today's shiur, before depositing it into the klisharis, it fell out of his hands. Can he scoop it up and still use it or not? Why didn't the Gemara ask that shaila? Says the Ritva, because that's not a shaila. It's for sure that the halacha is that the koimetz has to be put into the klisharis, and therefore if the koimetz fell to the ground before it was put into klisharis, that koimetz is disqualified. And therefore the Gemara didn't even ask the shaila. Boy, Rapapa. Now Rapapa asks a different question. Chishe b'chafinis k'tayris. We know that the halacha is that if somebody has a machshavas pigel, pigel generally means that a person has in mind to do the avoda tomorrow, or he has in mind to do it in the wrong place. So what's the halacha if during the chafina the Kohen Gadol had this improper machshava? Chishe b'chafinis k'tayris, mahu. Mi aminin yalef molim molim m'mincha. Do we learn gzeres shava from Karban Mincha? Mahosam, just like that Karban Mincha, Mahaniba Machshava. Karban Mincha is susceptible to Machshava's pigel. Hachanami Mahaniba Machshava. The Kfina will be susceptible to Machshava's pigel. Oiloi. So Rashi asked the question. We had twice in the previous blot, the Shailif we learned the Gzeres Shava between Kfina and Kmitza. So this is the same Shaila another time. Why does the Gemara have to repeat the same Shaila? It's the Shaila. Do we learn Gzeres Shava from Karban Mincha or don't we learn Gzeres Shava from Karban Mincha? Why is the Gemara repeating it? So Rashi says a very nice teretz. It's a lamed sheteretz. This is the way I would like to explain Rashi's teretz. There is a possible Gzeres Shava from Karban Mincha to Chfino. Mali Mali. Maloi Maloi, actually, the right pronunciation. But a Gzeres Shava could be taught on two levels. It could be taught on a technical level, and it could be taught on a conceptual level. All the shailas that the Gemara had in the previous year would do the same technical dinim that apply to the kmitza also apply to the chfina. Like we learned, the first shaila we had yesterday was that the halacha is you can't figure out how much kmitza falls into your hand and then make a measuring cup and always use it. And the Gemara wanted to know, would the same din apply by chfina? That's a technical din. Today's shaila is not a technical din. It's a conceptual din. Is the concept of machshava, which applies to Karban Mincha, also apply to the chfina? And Rashi teaches us that even if there is no gzeirah shava on the technical level, and therefore we can't compare the dinim necessarily, there still may be gzeirah shava on the conceptual level. And if there's a psul pigel by a Karban Mincha, there will also be a psul pigel by a carbon, by a chfina. That's what the Gemara's question is. Omalei Rav Simi bar Ashi l'Rapapa. So Rav Simi bar Ashi answers to Rapapa. Toshma. Rapapa, hoise Rav Akiva, there's a Gemara that says, in Masechta Chagiga, the Rav Akiva added that Hakoimitz v'Tairis. Valvona, Vagacholim, all these various items, Shenaga b'tfil yoyim b'miktsasun, if somebody's a tfil yoyim, and like we've explained, a tfil yoyim is somebody who was tameh, went to the mikvah, but did not yet have Harav Shamish. It wasn't yet nightfall. That the halach is that if a tfil yoyim touches b'miktsasun, part of it, pasul as kulam. Then the halach is that it passes all of it. What's Rabbi Akiva Hoysif? So if we learn the Gemara, we'll see that there Rabbi Shimon says that when is the halacha that if a tefil yoyim touches part, everything becomes disqualified, only when they're in one keli, when they're in one vessel. Comes Rabbi Akiva to say that even if they're not in one vessel, if they're in one pile, if the person who's a tefil yoyim touches part of it, it disqualifies the rest. Says the Gemara, Kosaka daitach, midat pasul tefil yoyim, if there's a psul of tefil yoyim, there's also psul lina. What does lina mean? That it's left overnight. Why do these two things travel together? Because tefil yoyim is a person, the time isn't right, he had no right to touch it. And lina is also something that he shouldn't have been left overnight. Umidalina pasul, what does lina mean? That you're not allowed to leave it overnight. If you're not allowed to leave it overnight, pasul na machshava, a machshava that you're going to leave it past its right time is pigal. And therefore the Gemara proves that there is a concept of pigal on the chfina. Rashi asks that why did the Gemara have to quote this Gemara with Rabbi Akiva? There's an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah says Akoimitz Vaktaris or Mechus Kehanim. If the Tulyoim touch part, it's Mishnah in Sechta Milan Daf Yud, the rest is possible. So why does he have to quote Rabbi Akiva? Rashi doesn't answer. Taisvis answers two Terutzim. One Terutz is that if I only had that Mishnah, I would think that what Ktairis is that Mishnah referring to? The Ktairis that's brought every day. But perhaps this unique Ktairis that we're discussing in our Sugis, the Ktairis that the Kohen Gadol brings on Yom Kippur, will not have this din. That's why the Gemara teaches us that our Gemara teaches us not only the Ktairis of every day, but even the Ktairis of Yom Kippur. Taisus says another Teretz, that if I only learned that Mishnah, I would think that that Mishnah is only speaking midrabbanan. How do we know that it work, that this is a concept even midaraisa? That's why the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva. One more shaila. We're learning now that anything that's left overnight, any k'tairus that's left overnight, becomes pasul. We learned in this Masechta that how was the k'tairus prepared? There was the base aftinus, the family of aftinus, that prepared the k'tairus for all year. And they had a warehouse full of k'tairus. And that k'tairus, every day, the Mishnah really taught it to us, they drew from that warehouse whatever k'tairus they needed every day. So k'tairus should be possible. The k'tairus is prepared one day. After that one day, after overnight, all that k'tairus should become possible. We should require that base of tinus, in order to avoid the psul of lina, should have to have new k'tairus every day. So Mefarshim answer that the psul lina only goes into effect when the k'tairus is drawn from the warehouse, is ready for use, has been segregated and dedicated for use, then if I leave it overnight, it becomes possible. But k'tairus that's in the warehouse is not yet k'tairus. It's just something in a warehouse, and that's why there's no psulin on it. By Rapapa. So Rapapa goes a step further. Chisha b'chetiz k'cholim. We just proved that if during the chfina, during drawing the handful of k'tairus, the Kohen Gadol had the wrong machshava, it becomes pigal. We also learned in the previous parak already that the Kohen Gadol had to scoop coals from the mizbeach for the k'tairus. And the Gemara's question now is that too considered part of the avoida of k'tairus? That we just proved pigal is applicable to the k'tairus. It'll be applicable to the chetiyas k'cholim, or not. The chetiyas k'cholim is only a preparation to the k'tairus. It's not considered an essential part of the avoida of the k'tairus, and therefore pigel will not apply to it. Chisha b'chetiyas k'cholim, will it disqualify the k'tairus or not? Now Rashi says that the Gemara's question really has two parts to it. One part is, if we'll say that pigel applies to it, how far will we say it? where we say that it disqualifies the coals, or maybe the pigle is so powerful that not only will it disqualify the coals by which you had the wrong machshava, that means when you scoop the coals, you had in mind that you're going to bring the ketores tomorrow, it will also adversely affect the ketores that you set aside to be used with these coals. What is the basis of the shaila? Machshirei mitzvah. Something that's done just in preparation for a mitzvah. K'mitzvah dami aloi. Does it have the status of a mitzvah? And therefore, and it's considered an essential part of the mitzvah. And if we proved in the previous piece of Gemara that pigel applies to the essential mitzvah, pigel applies to the chfinis k'tayris, it will also apply to gechias k'tchalim, or say that gechias k'tchalim is only a preparation to the mitzvah, and therefore it doesn't apply. Take it. It's interesting. There's a shayla to Chuvas Mishnah Halachas. This is a very relevant shayla. Is preparation for a mitzvah considered a mitzvah or not? Every mitzvah you have to prepare for. So the question is that considered that you're doing a mitzvah or not? So the Shailas Chuvas Mishnah Halachas draws the following distinction. He says there are certain times that the mechshiri mitzvah are unavoidable. You have to do it. What does it mean? One example. You have to be, a mitzvah shem should be relevant soon. We have to be oil regal. We have to go to Yerushalayim all three Yom Tovim. You can't get to Yerushalayim without traveling there. If you live not in Yerushalayim, you can't get there without traveling there. So there, says the Mishnah Halachas, the Machshiri Mitzvah is an unavoidable Machshiri Mitzvah. It has to take place. If you want to get to Yerushalayim, Machshiri Mitzvah k'mitzvah. On the other hand, let's say you're collecting wood, or you're collecting schach to make a sukkah. That's not an unavoidable Mechshir Mitzvah. Only the person that doesn't have schach available, who doesn't have the walls of the sukkah available, has to build them, has to make them. If you have them available, so you don't have to do them. There he says, Mechshir Mitzvah, alav k'mitzvah. Continues the Gemara. The halacha is that wherever the Torah uses the word kuhuna, or wherever the Torah uses the word etzba, finger, the halach is that avoida has to be done with the right hand. One of the avoidas that we've been discussing is on a regular carbon, we have to transport the dam, after we did the Kabbalah Sadam, which we discussed at length on Amun Aleph, we have to transport that dam to the Mizbeach. And the Gemara's question is, if you transport that dam with the left hand, what is the halacha? By my name Rav Ashi, halacha b'smol mahu. What is the halacha regarding transporting the dam with the left hand? Will that be considered a disqualification or not? On one hand, I'll say, since the Torah doesn't use the word kahuna, the Torah doesn't use the word etzpa regarding the halacha, so therefore it's not required. On the other hand, since the Torah uses the word v'krivoy in speaking about the Kabbalah, so v'krivoy means bring makriv the carbon, bring offering the carbon, and therefore will have the same din like all the other aspects of the carbon, and small, a left hand will be a disqualification. Amalei Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes atinisua. Notalas amachta v'yiminai, we learned in our Mishnah, that how was the Ketores transported to the Akkadish HaKadoshim, the coals were carried in his right hand, Visakaf, Vismoyloi, and it was transported in the left hand. So we see that transportation in the left hand is acceptable. Ask the Gemara, Vinishalamaha, the Tanan, why does the Gemara bring a different raya? There's a Mishnah, Masechta Zvachim, that says, and we spoke about it also, that when there were lotteries, what should be done after the carbon is slaughtered and dismembered, there were pieces carried up. And we said that the first person carried up, the first kohen carried up the head and the regal shayimin and the right leg, the small. And we learned, obeis oirai l'chutz, but they should be careful that the place where it was cut, where the incision, and it's bloody, should not be visible towards the Mizbeach. But we see clearly that something, that the animal is carried up with the left hand. Why didn't the Gemara use that as a proof that carrying with the left hand, halacha with the left hand, is acceptable? Answers the Gemara, imi hasam, if I only had that Mishnah, have min hanamila halacha deloy ma'akav kabara. When the animal is being carried up, the pieces of the animal are not the essential part of the animal that affects kapara. For as we have always said, what affects kapara? The dam. This is not affecting kapara. Aval halacha, the ma'akva kapara, when the halacha is something that's essential to the kapara that we want to affect, maybe there the halacha has to be done with the right hand. Kamash Milan, from our Mishnah, that here, where we are doing a halacha of something which is essential, the halacha of the spoonful of tyrus, it still may be done in the left hand. So what the Gemara is saying, just to review, is as follows. Halacha b'smol, at this point of the Gemara, is acceptable. What's the proof? From the fact that the k'tiris, the ladle full of k'tiris, was carried with the left hand. From the fact that the limbs of the animal were carried in the left hand, that isn't a proof, because that isn't an essential part of affecting kapara. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a braisa, zor, somebody who's not a kohen, v'oinen, or even a kohen, who lost a close relative, and today is still the day that that relative died, unless it's not a kohen gadol, because there is no concept of a ninus by a kohen gadol. Shikr is somebody who's drunk. Now Rashi says that a shikr means that somebody's drunk because he drank wine. Tosfos disagrees, and says that even if he's drunk because he drank a different intoxicating beverage, he's considered a shikr. Which is a relevant shaila halacha l'maisa, because the halacha is that a kohen who drank is not allowed to duchen, is not allowed to go up from the seas kapayim. So what is the halacha? Is it only if he drank wine, or if he drank any intoxicating beverage? So the Mishnah Berurah says la halacha that if a kohen drank a revius wine, it makes no difference if he is drunk or he isn't drunk, he's not allowed to duchen. If he drank an intoxicating beverage, so then Mr. Brewer brings 2 days. One day is that he has to be so shikr, kishakruso shaloit, like we remember loit in the Torah, which is quite drunk, then he's disqualified from duchening. And another day, which is the day that the Mr. Brewer seems to follow, that if he's so shikr that he can't speak lefnei hamelech, that he can't speak to the king, he's disqualified from duchening. Or ba mum, a kohen who has a mum, the Kabbalah or by Halacha or Bezrika Apostle. He's not allowed to do Kabbalah, he's not allowed to do Halacha, he's not allowed to do Zrika. Now we get further. The Kain Yoshef. Similarly, if he's sitting, the Kain Smol, and this is the punchline, if he's doing it in the left hand, Apostle. So we see here clearly, not like what Rav Sheshe told us in the previous Amid, that if Halacha is done with the left hand, it's Apostle. To Yufta. That's the Halacha. Halacha has to be done with the left hand. Just one more halacha, al-maisa. Here it says that the avoida may not be done sitting. Again, this is a shaila regarding a kohen doing duchening. Let's say you have a kohen who's sick. The halacha has to be done only with the right hand. The halacha has to only be done with the right hand. I said with the left hand? Sorry, it has to only be done with the right hand. Now, the shaila is a kohen doing duchening and he can't stand nebuch. He's sick. Is he allowed to do it in a sitting position? So the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, even though the Shvus Yaakov says that if he can lean, it's good enough, he could give him something to lean on, he could duchen, the Mishnah Berurah disagrees and he says if he can't stand, then he's disqualified from duchening. The Shalos Tshuvos Evan Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher from Yerushalayim, makes the following distinction. He says, if the kohen could stand long enough that when he says the word, now, how does it work duchening? The chazan says the word, and then the kohen repeats. If during the time that he just has to say the word of duchening, he could stand, even if while the chazan is saying the words, he doesn't have the ability to stand, he has to lean, he'll be able to duchen. If he's so weak that he can't even stand on his own for that short interval, then he can't duchen. So we proved that the braisa teaches us that halacha the small is possible. Ask the Gemara, how could Rav Sheshes possibly said that halacha is kosher b'smol? For Rav Sheshes hu d'asva, we see in another place the Rav Sheshes quotes this braisa. Domle Rav Sheshes la'mayr d'Rav Chizda. Rav Sheshes they used to have an amire. Everybody who spoke used to have like a speaker. He spoke low, spoke quietly, and the amire spoke loud. So Rav Sheshis asked the person who was Rav Chisda's speaker, and the Shulchan Tzion Malacha interestingly says, why didn't Rav Sheshis ask Rav Chisda directly? He says that Rav Sheshis had so much years hakavod for his Rebbe Rav Chisda that he was embarrassed to ask him a question directly. He had somebody ask on his behalf. What is the halacha if you could do halacha with a non-kohen? Amalei, so Rav Chisda responded, Kshera. Umikri Misayeni, I have a proof, because the Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, in the year where many carbon Pesach were brought, and the Pasuk says, V'yishchtu ha-Pesach, they shechted the carbon Pesach, V'yizriku ha-Kohanim Yodim, the Kohanim took the carbon Pesach, the blood of the carbon Pesach, from the hands of the Yisraelim or the Levim. The Levim Afshitim, the Levim did this dismembering of the animal, the skinning of the animal. So we see here that the Kohanim took the blood either from the Levim or Yisraelim, it makes no difference, because Levim and Yisraelim are Zor. So Rav Chisda is saying that a Zor may do it. Or Mois Rav Sheshis. So Rav Sheshis himself is the one that quotes the Braisa that we just explained, that said, Zor v'inan oinam v'shikur b'almum, v'kabola b'alocha, v'zreik apostle, v'kein yoshe v'kein smol, apostle. So we see Rav Sheshis was well aware of that Braisa. So how is Rav Sheshis saying that smol may be used for halacha? Rav Sheshis was well aware of the braisa that disqualifies him. Answers the Gemara, Bas de Shama Hada Hosfa. First, Rav Sheshis followed the line of reasoning that he said on Daf Mem Chesem Beis that smol should be kosher. After the Talmid HaChachamim in the yeshiva quoted him this explicit braisa that says smol is possible for the halacha, he became aware of the braisa, and he was able to use it as a question to Rav Chisda. But ask the Gemara, for Rav Chisda Kruakama, didn't Rav Chisda teach us a pasuk that we see in that pasuk that the Yisraelim did the halacha? So what are we who quote the braisa that says the Zor is possible for halacha going to do with that pasuk? Answers the Gemara, the Ovid Maisa Itztaba. Maisa Itztaba means that the Yisraelim or the Levim that transported the blood from the Makom Shechita to the Mizbeach didn't actually walk with the blood. They just acted as transfer points. There was like an assembly line of Yisraelim or Levim from where the Shechita took place until where the Zrika took place, and they just passed the dam along. Since they didn't move with the dam, that's not called halacha, and that's why, even though it was Yisraelim or Levim doing it, it wasn't disqualified. Actually, this concept of Maisa Itztaba is used la'aloch la'maisa. The minig is that when a child is brought to a bris milah, there's somebody called the kfater who brings the child. And there's a minig of a chayka, that we have people who are given the honor of transporting the baby to the sandik, or to the moil. Says the Paiskim, based on our Gemara, we see that transporting is also considered something. So the person that gets kvater or chayka doesn't have to actually move with the baby. As long as he carries the baby, he's showing a chshivas and a chavivas, a love to the mitzvah, and it's acceptable. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach disagrees, and he says that showing that the mitzvah is important and participating in the mitzvah involves that you help move the baby closer to the moil and the sandik. Just standing there will not be considered that you really participated in the mitzvah. And then I saw, interestingly, from Chaim Kreisworth, that he says the minig by the Jews from Taimon is that there is no separate kibud of kvater and sandik. And he uses our Gemara. We learned earlier that sandik by bris is compared to the person that brings ktiris. Just like when one brings the ktiris, there aren't various avoiders. It's one person that transports the ktiris and actually brings the ktiris. Similarly, if you want to have the schus of sandikos, which the Gemara we compare to ktiris, you have to do all of it. If you're only going to do part of it, you don't have anything. It's not considered that you did the ktiris, and the schus of the sandikos isn't there. One more shaila, which we discussed yesterday. Now that we explained that halacha has to be done with the right hand, So we go back to Yom Kippur, where we learned in our Mishnah and the Gemara yesterday and the Gemara today that the halacha of the ladle of Ketores was done with the left hand. How could it be done with the left hand? We said that halacha always has to be done with the right hand. So the answer is that since, as we learned in the previous blot, there is no other way of getting the Ketores to the Kodesh Kedoshim, because he has the Kohen Gadol has the Ketores, the coals in his right hand. That's why here he could use his left hand for the Ketores. Or another Teretz says, when is there a requirement that halacha has to be done with the right hand? It's only on dam, on blood. That was today's discussion. The Ketores is not dam, and by something that's not dam, there is no requirement for the right hand.